We extend Christian greetings to each one gathered here. Welcome each one to this part of the service. I can say I was richly blessed already this morning. The song service that we've had felt like it fit very well with what I would like to share today. The one song, Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. And in that song it had the question, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And then another song that was sung, I'll be there. I'll be there. I trust that each one of us gathered here, we have come with a true spirit of worship to our God, to our Maker. Will we be there? In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus speaking says there are many going to come in that day. And I gather he's talking about the day of his second coming. They're going to say, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? We have cast out demons in your name. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me. I don't even know who you are. So how do we know that the Lord that we serve and the Lord that we worship, that it is the right Lord? These people would have implied that they were also worshiping the Lord. I desire a continued interest in your prayer as I go through this message. I would like to speak about the Holy Spirit, our need of salvation, how we are saved, and what are we saved from. I would also like to give a description of hellfire. Why do we need to be saved? My desire is that you not only listen to what I say, but allow the Spirit of God to speak to your heart. I feel like on this subject that I can just merely scratch around on the surface a little bit. I don't really have that much ability of seeing in depth as I wish sometimes. But I do believe that God allows me to understand enough for my salvation. And it is very important that we make very sure that our salvation is sure and that we are worshiping the true God. Have any of you ever taken a test and flunked it because you did not really properly read about the subject that your test was on? I think that's happened to me, whether it was in school or a driving test. You didn't properly study the subject, and so you flunked the test. And that, I believe, is something that happens to those who are worshiping a Lord, and I think it's a false Lord. It's not the true one. One point that I would like to make here concerning that: when we read about the three temptations that Jesus encountered in the wilderness, Jesus himself went by what is written. Whenever Satan tempted him, you would think Jesus, if anybody was equipped to fight in the spirit realm, Jesus, the Son of God, would. But Jesus resorted, he said, it is written. And then he quoted the scripture that is written. He depended on the word of God. And so I would encourage us to really be diligent in our study, in our reading of the word of God. I would like to read a scripture here in Revelations chapter 20. But before I get into that, I would like to elaborate just a little bit about hell. The Bible would say that there are many people going there. It is a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. And there are so many things to attract us, to distract us from God's word. To those going there, Jesus came to free us from the curse of sin, which is death. The wages of sin is death. And ever since the fall of man, the sin nature has been passed on to each one of us. But to those going to hell, 2 Peter 2:17 says it's called a mist of darkness. Luke 16 calls it a place of flame and torment. Revelations 2:10-15 calls it a lake of fire and brimstone, to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Revelations 14, they will be tormented with fire and brimstone, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. Matthew 13:42-50 says, there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth after being thrown into a furnace of fire. I trust that there's not a one of us that has a desire to go to that place of torment. But the question is, have our robes been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have we made proper preparation to go to heaven? We may think we still have a long time. We may think we're still young. But do we? God only knows. We live in unprecedented times. And every day that passes, we are a day closer to the end of our life. Are we waiting for a more convenient time? All too soon, our life here on earth will be over, and then we will stand before our Maker. Will our robes be white, washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will our names be written in the Lamb's book of life? I'd like to read Revelations 20, verse 10 through 15. It says here, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Second Peter 1:10, Peter tells us to give diligence to make our calling and election sure. So the question is, how then can I be saved? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Christ is the foundation whereon we are to build our lives. A believing in him, that he truly is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And that believing in him needs to be established in our hearts at its very core. And then we need to keep on building on that. The principles that he taught us in his word. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and strength. And when we do that, he will direct our path. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and become born again, Jesus said in John chapter 3, he said that ye must be born again. So the question, how can I be born again? When a person comes to the age of accountability, and I have heard different discussions about when that age is, and I think it varies somewhat between individuals. But when a person comes to the age of accountability and he feels the condemnation of his lost condition, and when he accepts Jesus Christ into his heart as his Lord and Savior, I believe the new birth happens. But there is a condition that must first be met, and that is that we need to repent. I would like to look at a verse. I would like to look at John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist, his mission was to prepare the way for the Lord. And it had been almost 400 years since Israel had a prophet when this man from the wilderness came along and he started preaching. And many people went out to listen to John the Baptist preach. And the message that John the Baptist preached was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then in Matthew 3, verse 11, John the Baptist was preaching and he said this. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. How is Jesus Christ going to baptize with the Holy Ghost? I'd like to now turn to John chapter 1. I really like how John explains it about John the Baptist. And his expression when he saw Jesus coming on the scene. If we turn to John chapter 1, verse 29 through 34. John was out there. It says he was beyond Jordan where John was baptizing. And it says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He was sent to prepare the way for the Lord to come. And he was out there preaching. And then when he saw him, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Then he goes on and says, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And now listen to verse 33 here. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So John also said that Jesus will baptize with the Holy Ghost. If you go to John chapter 4, verse 2, it says there that Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples did. And so back to when a person experiences the new birth, when a person feels his lost condition, it's very important that a person repents. I looked up the definition of repent, and repent means to turn from sin and resolve to reform one's life, and to feel sorry for something done, to regret. Without repentance, a person cannot see the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Neither is a person able to enter, and that's why John the Baptist's message was so important in repent. And his mission was to get people to repent and to turn away from their sinful lifestyles, to get them ready for Jesus when he comes. And then he pointed Jesus out when they came. I'm going to read some of my personal notes here in study, and I studied this over the course of several months. And so I'm going to read some notes here. This is what I get out of the reading and the studying that I've done. And I desire that if I say or mislead anyone on anything, to be corrected in this. I feel like this is sacred ground when we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Is talking about Jesus here, and this was in John. He said, "Behold, I stand," and this is like Jesus talking, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." I believe that when Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, knocks on your door and you repent, and you believe and open the door of your heart and let him in, I believe it is at that moment in time that you are baptized by the Holy Spirit. And he is the one that applies the blood of Jesus Christ on your heart and washes your sins away with the blood, shed blood of Jesus Christ. And you become born again. Your garments are washed pure and white in the blood of the Lamb. When a person experiences the new birth, it is one of the greatest miracles of all time. It takes you from the pathway to hell, and it takes you through the door of the sheepfold and puts you on the pathway to heaven. This, Jesus baptizing you by the Holy Ghost, is a baptism more real than the physical one we apply or perform with water, which is very important, but is only a type or shadow of the work of the Holy Spirit. I'd like to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We had this in our Sunday school lesson today, by the way. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 14. But think of the baptizing of the by Jesus of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Thinking of the work of the Holy Spirit, I would also now like to turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 through 7. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The new birth in a person's life is something that can happen at any time, any place, anywhere, in church, at home, in the barn, or in the field. It is contingent on the unsaved person accepting Jesus and repenting and believing and opening the door of your heart when Jesus knocks on your door. I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 12, read a few verses. And here, we'll enter briefly into the thing of blasphemy. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22 to 32 is an account here of something that happened, and Jesus on the scene here, and he talks briefly about the Holy Spirit. Matthew 12, verse 22 through 32. It says here, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. I remember as a young boy hearing ministers come over this scripture about blaspheming the Holy Ghost. And I used to think that blaspheming the Holy Ghost is something really, something that would be awful. doing something awful towards the Holy Spirit. But looking up the word blasphemy, all it says here is irreverence towards something considered sacred. That is Merriam-Webster. Google says, the act or offense of speaking sacrilegiously about God or sacred things. It says here, just an act of irreverence towards something is blasphemy. And Mark gives this same account, and he said that the reason that Jesus said this about blasphemy of the Holy Ghost was because they accused him of casting out Satan by the prince of devils. And what spirit do you think Jesus had? The Son of God. He had the Holy Spirit within himself. And for them to infer that he was casting out Satan because he had an unclean spirit, that's what Mark said. He said that because they inferred that he had an unclean spirit and that he was using that unclean spirit to cast out demons. Mark says that it was because that they said that, that Jesus said this about blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. And that is merely being irreverent or sacrilegious towards something that is sacred and holy. And we do good to be very careful in our Christian walk of life. In our Christian walk of life, it is very important that we conduct ourselves according to the way that, with us being led by the Holy Spirit, that we do not give a false misrepresentation of God or of his children. I'm going to read some more personal notes on the Holy Spirit here. We believe that the Holy Spirit is co-equal with God the Father and God the Son and is of the same essence, yet he is also distinct from them. Scripture describes the Holy Spirit in personal terms. It says that he teaches, guides, comforts, and intercedes. He possesses emotions, intellect, and will. The Holy Spirit spoke to Philip and gave counsel to the church at Jerusalem. And he was sinned against and lied to in Acts 5. That's the account of Ananias and Sapphira. The scriptures also attest to the deity of the Holy Spirit. He is spoken of as God and is identified with the title of Jehovah. The Christian who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit is indwelt by God. The Holy Spirit possesses the attributes of deity, such as omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, and eternality. He does works only God can do, such as creating, regenerating, and sanctifying. He is equally associated with the other members of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit today plays a major role in the application of salvation to the individual. It is the Holy Spirit who brings conviction to the unbeliever and causes him to see the truth of the gospel in a clear light. Those who respond to this conviction and place their faith in Jesus Christ and accept him into their hearts and make him Lord of their lives are then baptized by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit unites the believer with Christ and places him in the body of Christ, the church. He also unites the believer with Christ in his death, enabling him to live victoriously over sin. God dwelleth in us. The Holy Spirit controls the believer who yields to God and submits to God's word. When these conditions are met, the believer lives in the power of the Holy Spirit and produces the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. I'd like to read a portion of Scripture here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 10. Peter is talking here about us having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And he says, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. It's been a blessing in my life to make a study on these things, but it just really impressed on me the importance of making sure that we read and follow the written word. The scriptures that I read in Revelation says that we will be judged by our works that are according to the books. It says the books were opened. And as I mentioned earlier, Jesus, the author of life, there is a false Jesus out there that is being preached, but it is very important that in our journey through life that we follow the book and we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author of this book. And it is very important. Don't trust your salvation to what people say. Read for yourself. We have so easy access to the Holy Scriptures, for it is in them that we find life. And it is in them that we find eternal life. We cannot separate God, the Holy Spirit, God the Son, from His Word. He is the Word. John would say that also in John chapter 1. May the Lord bless you all. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.